ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
From the Houston Astros, Kyle Tucker. Justin Verlander. And Framber Valdez.
Oh, yeah, there were boos, all right. There were a lot of boos at Dodger Stadium last night. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes. I would never boo for you guys. I love my lovely coworkers. There was an aggressive amount of booing. I will say the Dodgers fans next to me were nice because I was like full, like, Dusty Baker, OG, like, Kyle Tucker, I was really obnoxious, and they were very understanding. So the ones around me were nice. Shout out to them. But a lot of booing last night as the AL won the All-Star Game 3-2.
I'm glad that they got booed. As Don Eladio said on Monday night's episode of Better Call Saul, a little bit of hate's okay as long as you never forget who's boss, and the Astros are the Dodgers' boss based off of the results of the 2017 World Series. I do think, Vanessa, they could have worked on the boo a little bit more. I mean, you're booing Kyle Tucker the most. Why? You should be booing Justin Verlander the
right.
most. The boo was definitely weaker for Verlander. I think they ran out of energy or just forgot that there's a sporting event that they're at for the third boo with Framber Valdez, or maybe they were just confused. And let's be honest, LA sports fans aren't good. So a lot of extenuating circumstances. I'm just glad, though, Vanessa, that they got booed. And then after that happened, I'm not going to lie, I kind of spaced out for most of the rest of the All-Star game watching it on TV.
I mean, 3-2 is not the sexiest score you've ever seen. But it was cool. It was a good All-Star game. To your point, you know, you have guys that weren't even with the team back in 2017 when they cheated. You have Justin Verlander, who's a pitcher.
Allegedly.
So was he... He's allegedly a pitcher?
No, I mean the cheating. That's the cheating is allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly cheating. And then you have Justin Verlander, who's a pitcher. I don't know that any of it made sense. But regardless, there was a lot of booing. But they are the villains of baseball. There's no doubt. They have been. I think they will be. How long do you think that lasts? I thought about that last night, Paul, as I was sitting at Dodger Stadium. How long do you think the boos, how long do you think Astros... Really?
Forever. Yeah, people are always going to hate the organization because they're going to feel like they got away with one, which is great. I think that makes it even better. As someone who grew up a Patriots fan, I mean, look, the Patriots aren't really good anymore, and people still hate them. They're never going to stop hating that team. It's, I think, something that's common across sports. There are certain brands where they do something that's so egregious that they'll never be forgiven. And even though I think that what the Astros were doing is very similar to teams like the Dodgers and like the Yankees and like the Red Sox and like, for some reason, the Colorado Rockies and other teams as well, they are always going to be the centerpiece of that because of the way that the investigation happened. Whatever, I don't care. The banner's still flying. That's the only thing that matters at the end of the day. But they will always be hated. And I like that. That means you matter. It means you are relevant. It is good to be hated. And some of you guys that get so sensitive about people booing you online, honestly, I feel like you just have the wrong mindset for this. It's fun to be hated. It means that you're doing something
that?
Right.
Darren Rovell. Darren Rovell always says,
well, that's not good for me.
It's not, but Darren Rovell always says, if people don't hate you, you're irrelevant.
Yep.
People have to feel strongly about you. So just call yourself Darren Rovell. I don't know.
Brand recognition. No, don't call me that. I am not a nerd. Thank you. I would never go to Northwestern. That is a school that is even in the minds of Syracuse University considered better than us. But you know, the rest of the All-Star game, I'm not going to lie. This is a random thing to notice, I guess, but they were trying to do new things with the broadcast, and I won't fault them for trying at the very least, where they were micing up players, and some of the players were good interviews. I'm not going to lie. Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge, geez, that was rough hearing them mic'd up. They just sounded like two Neanderthals grunting out there. And the same thing you got with Nestor Cortes when he was mic'd up. It was cool to see, I believe, Trevino and the Yankees mic'd up, but for the most part, I found myself listening to the broadcast. I was spacing out a lot and doing some other things along the way. And I just thought to myself, man, this game doesn't sound like it matters. You know why? Because Joe Buck wasn't calling it. And I know a lot of people out there hate Joe Buck, but I'm sorry. When I hear Joe Buck's voice, I think baseball. I don't even know who the guy was calling it, and it's unfair to him, this poor guy on Fox who's replacing Joe Buck.
I think it's Joe Davis, by the way, who I think will be doing the World Series
yes.
and playoffs.
Well, clearly, if he's doing the All-Star game, he's going to be doing the playoffs. I don't know. It's not the same without Joe Buck, and they were trying to do this alternative broadcast thing. And look, I just feel – I felt old watching it last night, Vanessa. I used to love the All-Star game. It used to be my favorite thing that happened in the summer. I used to have my best friend, Mark Scribby, over. We would play N64 all night leading up to the All-Star game, like Ken Griffey Jr. baseball featuring Ken Griffey Jr. And then we would watch the All-Star game. I used to love it. Now I'm sort of like, all right, well, it's on, and I'll watch it because I have to.
Get off my lawn. All right, let's say some of the things that we liked, and then you have some All-Star hot takes. I will say the Clayton Kershaw moment was cool. Look, I know he's a Dodger.
Oh, with the kid? Yeah.
But
yeah.
He finally obviously got to play, you know, an All-Star game at Dodger Stadium, which was cool. I liked that. Framber Valdez getting the dub, even though it's not the most significant game at Dodger Stadium, and Astro getting a dub. I love that. I loved Alex Cintron, the Astros hitting coach, during the introductions. I don't know if they showed this on TV, but you could see it on the Jumbotron. When they were getting booed, he just like kept pointing to Houston and smiling. And all
Good
the guys
man.
Were smiling. It was kind of a cocky moment that I loved. Hot take Harry, All-Star Game edition.
Oh, yeah. So listen, there's something I used to do back at the flagship where when I realized that there was absolutely nothing that I could content-wise that I could squeeze out of something I'd watched, I would just decide to make up some hot takes. So here's one. Framber Valdez won the All-Star game. Is it time for him to replace Justin Verlander as the lead ace of the Astros? Framber Valdez pitched. Framber Valdez got out three guys in a row. Justin Verlander didn't even play. Does he care? Serious question.
Does Verlander care?
Yeah. But at the same time, Framber Valdez, he only struck out zero All-Stars. Should the Astros cut him? I can't say. These are just the questions I'm asking.
These are, and I will say this, I do like your hot take voice. I mean, I think that's pretty realistic.
It's like a terrible version of Jim Rome.
It is.
Dusty Baker only managed the American League to get three runs throughout the game. How are they going to score more runs in the World Series, Vanessa? How?
Your next point that you have is something that I actually did want to know about.
Two at-bats for Kyle Tucker? What is this?
I actually did question that.
Two participation trophies? I mean, this is ridiculous. Just two? He should be batting every single time. Hey, why didn't he force Jose Altuve and Jordan Alvarez to play? Ridiculous. How can you trust him in a World Series now, Vanessa? Those two guys were on the team. Ooh, they're injured. Blah. It's the All-Star game. It matters. I guess it doesn't count anymore, though. Yes,
it doesn't count. But it is the most significant All-Star game of any of the major sports. At least the guys like make a lot of money and want to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Guys in the NFL don't even want to do the Pro Bowl.
This is true. And speaking of lazy people that don't want to do things, Shohei Ohtani. Ooh, look at me. I'm MVP, but I don't want to pitch. Ooh, look at me. Picked off first base in the first inning. Is he really the MVP when he has the IQ of someone who does not care during the All-Star game? I can't say.
Any more hot takes? Hot take here?
I just want the pregnant pause to like last afterwards. I think it's making it sound even more ridiculous. It's great. All right, one last one. The American League, 9 wins in a row. It's good to see that we Americans are winning America's pastime and keeping those dirty, greasy Nationals from winning anything. Ban interleague play, hashtag build a wall. That's it. Those have been
That
my
is something you would
takes.
Say.
Yeah.
Throwback to May when a Swede won the Indy 500 and you were not a fan of that
disgusting.
On Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely disgusting. The Swedes, they think they're so cool. Ooh, look at us. We're socialists. Our country's great and everyone's 6'4" and hot. Ooh. How big was the car for that guy, too? Because Swedes are, like, massive.
He's not a massive Swede. Massive
okay.
Swede? Sounds like a dirty movie. All right. Big deal or no big deal?
Yeah.
So then there are two private plane situations around baseball right now that people are talking about. Homeboy that was from the Oakland A's that was going to
yes.
pitch to the was that
fella McFellapants. The Astros flew him out there. Oh, fella, who can forget him? I forget who's
Cole Blackburn.
Yes. Yeah, that guy.
The Oakland A's only All-Star, and the Astros let him pop on their PJ because he was going to fly commercial. God forbid. That was a very nice thing that the Astros did.
It's
by
not
the
good
way.
For the Astros villain brand though, Vanessa. I got to say,
it's not.
You know what? Like, screw this guy. He's on the A's. You know,
now that was fly that coach. Was going to the All-Star game. I did think that that was from Oakland because of the time of day. Because it was
You can't say that word.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good. We got a dumb fun. That's the first time that either of us have sworn on the air. Hell yeah, Vanessa.
It's all my good. Bad.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Relax. Okay, it's fine. It happens.
I did not think that it was that big of a deal in general. And then Juan Soto. Juan Soto yesterday, the Nationals made him fly commercial.
Yeah, that
big
was
deal
nuts.
Or no big deal.
I think that is a big deal, especially if we're talking about. I mean, it's petty as hell, right? Can you believe that the Nationals beat the Astros in 2019 too? They're operating like a bunch of pores. This is ridiculous. They made the guy fly to the All-Star game on his own because he rejected their offer. Yes, their offer was very generous, but come on. Like, what do you, like, clearly you don't want him anymore if you're doing that. You've given up.
I think that it's clear that they don't want him, and I think it's extremely cheap. I don't know that I think athletes need to fly on private jets. I'm sure he would have flown first class, right? Am I the only one that doesn't think it's that big of a deal that they were going to make him, God forbid, go to an airport?
Yes, I do. I think it's awful. Come on. I mean, if you are the only respectable part of a god-awful team that's clearly in the midst of tanking, shouldn't they at the very least roll out the red carpet for you? If you're someone that looks at the Nationals, like, would you ever want to play for them if they're doing something like this? It's like the little things like this that become big stories, even though they're probably not the biggest deal in the world. I think it's just dumb. And it's petty. And I mean, congratulations. I mean, you really showed Juan Soto. You made him fly coach or whatever, you know? Ridiculous.
It definitely was petty. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, no more dump button, hopefully.
Lance, I want more cussing. Screw you, FCC.
On that. And then we also think, in addition to Juan Soto, that this particular superstar is a goner, and you will hear why. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, finally some Lance McCullers Jr. news that we have a solid timeline. He is going to make what's going to be the first of a couple rehab starts on Friday, and it's not going to be with the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. It's going to be with the Corpus Christi Hooks. I believe they will be in San Antonio.
Unbelievable.
And that is where we'll find Lance McCullers Jr.
Lance McCullers Jr. should be making all of his rehab starts on the home of the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, ESPN 92.5. I feel like this is a shot, Vanessa, that the Astros have taken at us directly. And it has been noted and it has been written down, and we will not forget this.
We will not forget it.
Corpus Christi, interesting, though, that we are finally seeing him back out on the mound on a serious note. 4 to 5 rehab starts. That's interesting. Oh, so that means it's still a ways away. I mean, shoot, we're talking probably about a September return if we're talking 4 to 5 starts in the, as far as rehab goes. September, my God, who would have thought it would take this long for him to get back?
I mean, that's almost a year, right? Because, I mean, it was October that he got injured, correct? ALDS, yeah. I believe, against the White Sox was the last time that he pitched, because he didn't pitch in the ALCS or World Series. I'm just glad that we now have an official time of which we will see him pitch, because the Astros are always very private, some would say shady, about their rehab and their injuries. Every ball club is different, but the Astros don't give much away. So we didn't even know, if you remember, the name of Lance McCullers' particular injury for a while. It's like a flexor pronator strain, if I remember correctly.
That sounds...
Dr. Vanessa is up in this.
That sounds bad. Do you know, at any point when you read that for the first time, did you have an idea of where that is or what that might be? Because I don't. I'm like, what?
Ooh. You could have told me that it was... on his lower back, and I would have been like, yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, I hear flexor, I think hip immediately.
Yeah.
That has been Dr. Paul.
Pronator muscle strain.
Pronatal skibble-doop-doo-wop. His skibbly-stim-flim-flam. It's banged up, you know?
Okay, so Lance McCullers Jr., in theory, comes back. Mm-hmm. Justin Verlander has this new clause. I guess it's an old clause, but it's new information about the 130 pitches. Jake Odorizzi... is he giving us what we want? And then the Astros need a left-handed reliever. with the trade deadline coming up, all of these things, what do we predict Sean and Paul for the Astros and what Dusty does with the rotation?
I mean, I feel like you got to shop Odorizzi, see if you can get something back for him. But at the same time, if McCullers is not guaranteed to be back until the 4 to 5 starts are done, I don't know that you can really move anybody. I would like to move Odorizzi for something. I would like, because you do have, when healthy at the very least, an excess of pitching. But do you feel comfortable with the idea of moving on from someone just given the bad luck injury-wise the Astros pitchers have had? I don't know. Now, once the playoffs start, they're going to shorten the rotation probably to 3 guys. And Odorizzi, I doubt we will see outside of in long relief work. But I'm curious. It's good that McCullers is probably going to be back for the playoffs. But, I mean, here's the other thing, too, is this was something that I think Keith Law floated a couple of months ago on the Killer Bees. But maybe McCullers moves into the bullpen. And, I mean, we've seen McCullers work in relief before way back in 2017, and it worked pretty damn well. So I feel like you might just stand pat as far as where your pitchers are right now, unless you do feel the need strongly to bring in somebody else who's a lefty or something like that. But I don't know who that name is, Vanessa, off the top of my head.
So James Click was on the Astros flagship this morning and had a couple of interesting things to say. On Yordan Alvarez, he predicted, this is, of course, Astros general manager James Click, said the expectation is for Yordan Alvarez to play tomorrow. He'll hit on the field at Minute Maid Park today, and then they'll kind of take it from there. That's good news for the Astros, who have needed a couple of big hits in certain moments. Again, luckily that one day they had Martin Maldonado, but you certainly can feel his presence or lack thereof felt when you look at the Astros box score.
It's good that that is not something that's lasting. And, you know, if you on top of that can feel a little bit better about, you know, the return of Jose Altuve, given that he's played in the, you know, last couple of games for the Astros, the last two after that, you know, getting hit on the wrist. This definitely makes me feel a lot better that these aren't prolonged injuries. But the other thing that you have to keep an eye on is, okay, well, as they are back out at the plate, are they going to be hitting at the same level that they were hitting before? Because they have been very, very good this year, both of them. And Altuve, good. Let's be honest, Alvarez has been awesome. Alvarez has been the best hitter in baseball.
MVP, MVP, MVP. So the people chant at Minute Maid Park. Michael Brantley, as Dusty Baker said, they are missing the solid bat of Michael Brantley, is something that he had said. And James Click gave an update on that on the Stros flagship, saying the notion that Michael Brantley won't play for the rest of the 2022 season is overboard. And the plan is for him to return to action sooner rather than later. So there were mumblings on Twitter of Astros fans that were saying he's definitely out for the year. Brantley and James Click basically said, calm down. That's dramatic.
But sooner rather than later, what the hell does that mean? You know, especially with, Lance McCullers, we've been waiting for him to come back for a while and we've never really been updated with the timeline. That is just an everything is fine and maybe you don't see fireworks exploding in the background with Frank Drebin and the Naked Gun, but at the same time, you're sort of thinking to yourself, I like hearing this, but I don't know that I buy it. I'm always a little skeptical.
Altuve is back. He was back before the All-Star break, but the reason he didn't participate, of course, is they said that they wanted him to kind of heal a little bit more from that contusion when he got hit by the pitch. So we expect Altuve, of course, to be good against the Yankees.
And I messed that up. I thought for some reason I confused Altuve and Alvarez's injuries for that moment. Yeah, that was the contusion.
Oh, no. It
contusion.
Happens. Contusion. So Altuve is already back. Hopefully he's fully healed. It looks like Yordan is on the way back. And if they can get Michael Brantley back as well,
woo!
I feel pretty good about where the Astros are at.
By the way, Vanessa, I don't know if you saw this, and we do have a couple of watch segments on Vanessa and Gallant, but, you know, Mariners Watch was introduced to the program yesterday. We also have a little segment called Yankees Watch, and there was something that took place at the All-Star game yesterday that I feel like people need to hear because it's good news.
She also...
Yankees watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
And he has a son named Jacob who came up the other day really upset from his school in Astoria. He just came over. He's like, are you telling me that Aaron Judge may not be a Yankee after this year? What do you have to tell to Jacob right there and to all your fans that want you to remain in a Yankee uniform? I wasn't going to put you on the spot. I mean, we're on live TV.
Yeah, no, Jacob, buddy. You know, we got a lot of great Yankees on this team. You know, there are a lot of great Yankees. Be here for a long time, you know. So don't be upset. Hopefully you'll be a Judge fan for life.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for your time. Back to you guys.
He's a goner.
See ya.
And also the fact that Marley Rivera used a child to ask him if he was going to be back with the Yankees.
That was great exploitative journalism.
Wow.
I can't believe how honest he was there.
Young Jacob.
Yeah, that was something else. And now I'm just thinking about like all the John Sterling calls that won't happen anymore. I'll be the judge of where Aaron Judge is next year. Not here. See double rhyming there too going on. Yeah, this is great. He's gone. And now you just wonder, well, what are they going to do to make up for it? Because if you've talked to some Yankee fans over the last couple of years, they're a little bit frustrated with what seems to be a little bit less aggression in the purse. And obviously they've been irresponsible in the past when it comes to spending money. You know, look at the Jacoby Ellsbury contract last decade and some other ones too. So maybe they're trying not to be what they have been in the recent past, but you're just going to let this guy go. I know he's not great in the postseason. He does strike out a lot, but who are you replacing him with? Do you have somebody to fill the void? Are they going to try to go after Juan Soto to make up for the fact that they probably won't have Aaron Judge? Doubtful, because I doubt that they're going to pay him. They won't pay Aaron Judge, you know, what, $300+ million. I doubt that they're going to give that to Juan Soto. So very curious to see how the Yankees handle this, but that could be something. You hear that comment if you're one of his clubhouse teammates. That does have to be in the back of your mind the rest of the year. Not to say that it's a distraction that's going to make you, I don't know, despise Aaron Judge, but if Judge goes through a slump, I do wonder how the rest of the clubhouse will handle it. Because, I mean, that's as much as saying I'm gone as you're ever going to hear a guy say.
Absolutely, and I actually commend him for being honest instead of being, hey, tell young Jacob I'm a Yankee for life, which is what a lot of athletes would do. And instead, Judge was pretty honest. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, 50 days until the NFL season kicks off. We're discussing that, plus a former Texan is swearing he didn't do it, and the NFLPA has his back. No, it's not Deshaun. We'll tell you who we're talking about coming up next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
The number is 50. We are at a special mark. 50 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. For that, every segment, every day, for this segment, we go to Paul Gallant, who picks out a jersey number in accordance with the day. So, Paul, today is 50. Who is number 50?
First off, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa? Living on a prayer? Number 50. He played high school football in Worthing, Worthing. He was born here in Houston. He played for Baylor. He is the greatest Baylor player in history, probably. A 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, 7-time First Team All-Pro, Super Bowl 20 champion, the one, the only, Samurai Mike, a.k.a. Mike Singletary, who you might remember for one of the most delightfully... ironically, but unironically
cheesy.
Funny.
It was cheesy, but fun.
Music videos of all time. The Super Bowl Shuffle. This was Mike Singletary's part.
Aw.
I'm Samurai Mike. I stop them cold. Part of the defense, big and bold. I've been jamming for quite a while. Doing what's right and setting the style. Give me a chance, I'll rock you good. Nobody messing in my neighborhood. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I just came to the Super Bowl Shuffle.
We are the Bears. Shuffle the crew. Shuffle on down.
Doing it for you. We're so bad.
We know we're good.
Blowing your mind like a newbie would. You know we're just strutting for fun. Strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl Shuffle.
fantastic.
I still
love
it.
I love the 80s.
I love the 80s, yes. And honestly, I still think that that video goes hard. It's like innocent fun, okay? It's like they're not taking themselves too seriously. I absolutely love it. Shout out to a local guy, Mike. I met him at the airport when I was in high school. Nice guy.
It's one of the goofiest things ever. By the way, Mike Singletary had a less accomplished career as a coach that still is very memorable. This rant went viral after he benched tight end Vernon Davis in the middle of a game, I believe against the Seahawks.
No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
One time.
Can't do it.
To make another statement, Vanessa, Mike Singletary dropped his pants at halftime on a game that took place October 30th of 2008. His team was down 20-3, and he wanted to illustrate how badly they were playing. What, did he show his butt? The coach was wearing boxers. This motivational tool was first reported by an Arizona radio station, because I guess they were playing the Cardinals. They had a bye week. I don't know if they won the game, but he dropped his pants at halftime when they were down 20-3 once. He was not a very good coach.
And you know what? It's funny because there are things like that that back then coaches got away with. Like Bob Knight, I remember people saying did the same thing and one time wiped his ass and said,
"Wow,
you guys all look like this when you play."
Wow.
Yeah. Things like that are weird to me, but old school, it worked.
He had his pants apparently on. I'm hoping Bobby Knight did for that.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Jeez. I would hope so.
Holy crap.
That's a strong jersey choice, Paul.
Yeah, 5-0. Mike Singletary. That was a fun one. I that was quite the rabbit hole that I went down with him.
All right, so former Texan DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for 6 games due to them finding banned substances when they gave him a urine test. The NFLPA issued what I thought was a really interesting tweet yesterday. It was a very specific correction. Quote, on May 2nd, 2022, the NFL Network reported that DeAndre Hopkins' suspension came after producing a positive test result for a prohibited substance plus a diuretic or masking agent attempting to substitute, dilute, or adulterate a specimen manipulated test result. This reporting was incorrect as Hopkins never tested positive for any diuretic or masking agent, and there was absolutely no evidence of any attempt to substitute, dilute, blah, blah, blah. So they basically came out and said that NFL Network's reporting was incorrect on DeAndre Hopkins. It's a very, very specific complaint. I guess they want to prove that he wasn't like trying to dilute something, because Hopkins, shocker, says that he didn't take anything bad or knowingly.
Right. So this is strange. I haven't seen the Players Association ever say, yeah, he seriously didn't know what he put in his body. And the problem is for any player who now says that, oh, I didn't know, going forward, because it's happened so many times, everyone thinks that they're lying. So it's the boy who cried wolf. No one's going to believe DeAndre Hopkins on this. I do find it interesting that the Players Association is sticking up for him. Still, though, you got to be more careful with this. I think it's easier said than done for a lot of people who are like, oh, you got to know everything that comes into your body. Sometimes you just have idiot trainers. You know, it's possible for someone to maybe slip up on that front when they are giving you this. Because do you think DeAndre Hopkins is like going to GNC after a practice
and
thinking about the shakes he's making? Yeah.
Right. And he's not checking every single ingredient for every single protein shake that he consumes. In other NFL news, the Tennessee Titans, according to Forbes, their value could increase by $300 million with the new stadium.
Oh, yeah, these freaking pores. I can't stand that organization. Their fans are complete morons, especially the ones who are still here in Houston who root for the team. They left you. They're not coming back. They're never coming back. Yes, they went out for a carton of milk for a pack of cigarettes. They're not coming back. Give up. But these poors who traded away A.J. Brown because they couldn't afford him, read between the lines, that is definitely what happened. They are also trying to get a publicly financed new stadium, even though their old stadium is what, like I think 25, 26, 27 years old or something like that?
Right.
This is ridiculous. This organization is just doing exactly what they did here in Houston. I hate that they still have the Oilers history, but wow, their value would go up if they get a new stadium. If that's the case, then I don't know, maybe buy the new stadium yourself instead of trying to force random taxpayers to buy it for you. It's ridiculous.
I always laugh, too, because a lot of the teams, like their value increases, whatnot. You look at the Panthers, David Tepper is the richest owner in the NFL by far, mm-hmm. and yet they're still so bad.
Right. That side of things is interesting. And then they've built a training facility, but now they're not going to actually build it anymore. And I don't know how much money they probably pissed away with that move, too. That is strange. So you are right in that it doesn't guarantee anything if you are a wealthy owner, but I hate these beggar billionaires. Oh, we don't have enough for a new stadium. It's like that episode of South Park where they're making fun of all the children of kids who are suffering because their parents are losing revenue due to illegally downloaded music. Like little Timmy won't be able to have an island in the Mediterranean because of this. It's ridiculous. They should have to buy their own stadiums. They're going to make the money back.
I completely agree.
It's a constantly appreciating product.
And that's a lot to ask for taxpayers. When you look at like some of the cities where the schools are not great and the condition of, you know, the public parks or whatever, I know that I'm kind of getting on a tangent here, but I can't stand reports like this. How much is the value? And I believe Forbes. I do think the Tennessee Titans value will increase that much.
Yeah.
That's all the more reason as to why they should buy it themselves. It does not make sense for taxpayers to have to contribute that much to a new stadium.
And they'll spin it like, but there's going to be concerts here. It's going to be great. And of course, Nashville does have a pretty happening music scene from what I'm told. But at the same time, I mean, again, you're going to make all this money back. You should have to take out the loan to do it.
Totally agree. The billionaire's going to billionaire.
Yeah,
all right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you have to hear the sound from SEC Media Day. Where's the beef? Oh, there's plenty beef. But first, let me tell you about your home insurance and how you're paying way too much for it. It doesn't have to be a hassle to get new home insurance thanks to our friends at TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and then you get that quote super quickly within 15 seconds. So take your phone out. Text the word money. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. What happens is their system is going to ask for your address. You send it back and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. It's a legit company. It's not a scam. Their average customer from last year saves over $870 on home insurance. So again, I know it feels like a hassle, but I promise it won't be. Take it from me. Save money. One more time, text M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
SEC Media Days are always fun. There are some, what should we say, characters
yes.
in that conference. College football coaches in general are weirdos. We've had this discussion that you have to be kind of weird to do that job in general. Nick Saban is one of them. Now, he's one of the more successful ones, obviously. And his beef with Jimbo Fisher, he says, is not that big of a deal and tries to downplay it. Here's Saban on said beef.
First of all, I have no issues or problems with Jimbo. You know, he's done a great job at A&M. He did a great job for us. I always take criticisms or whatever in a positive way to self-assess me personally in terms of maybe there is something that I could do better. And So any comments that anybody makes, you or any coach, I always take into consideration. So, but there is no issues or problems.
I do declare.
What is he, Buddha?
A Southern gentleman, Vanessa, is like Buddha, as you said. He is above the notion of a direct confrontation verbally with somebody else. He does it in a passive-aggressive manner, more like how you say the ladies of today. We talk behind the man's back. We do not say it to his face.
Yeah, this was the massive disappointment. Greg Sankey clearly got to him or something like that. But I the SEC, if you want to get bigger, I'm sorry, lean into this drama. It's great. Let these guys go. What? This is bad.
Have
it's a
fun.
Bad look.
Right.
And I mean, the reason I know that Saban basically just kept saying the same thing over and over again because it was one of those car washes that they had at SEC Media Day. So first, they had him in his opening press conference, which you heard right there. But then a little bit later, he sits down, and I think he was sitting with Laura Rutledge and Tim Tebow.
Yeah, it was with the panel. I actually did see this clip.
Yes.
And he talked a little bit more about the beef in general. Here's my problem with this. Jimbo admitted there was a beef. Jimbo gave us what we wanted. Now, eventually, he settled down, but he gave us good content, and he said exactly how he felt about Nick Saban. I respect that. I don't have a dog in the fight because I'm not an Alabama fan and I'm not an A&M fan. No offense to the Aggies. I didn't go to A&M. Don't come after me, people. But
Vanessa doesn't think College Station's fun? Unbelievable. Yeah. Can't believe she just said that. Oh. We had to press the dump button on that, too. It was crazy.
Never forget that. Never forget that. But then Nick Saban talked a little bit more about it, and involved water. Here's Nick Saban.
I think the game's about the players. You know, Jimbo and I mean, I wish you had some of the arguments we had in the staff room. when we worked together.
I also heard on the basketball court as well.
On the basketball court, too. But this wouldn't have to be public. But the way I look at it is, you know, when people make comments about Nick Saban, I listen. I try to learn. I try to make improvements in my own self by self-assessing in terms of what can I do to get better.
Clearly, someone told him, Vanessa, that he tries to keep putting the water under the bridge. Clearly, his narrative that he wanted to bring about was, there's no beef, and I try to use the beef to make me better. But I love that he said Nick Saban. I love that he referred to himself in the third person there.
Sean Mapes, you consume a lot of college football. What were your thoughts on those sound bites that we just played from Nick Saban?
I think it's clear that Nick Saban wants to kind of put it behind him. And that's kind of what's in the best interest for Alabama specifically. Maybe not, like Paul said, for the SEC, but it's good for him just to try to be professional about it. But I don't think the Greg Sankey getting called into the commissioner's room worked all the way down to the players per se, because Will Anderson, if not the number one pick, the number one non-quarterback in next year's draft, was at SEC Media Days, and he said, quote, when we play A&M, everything will be addressed then.
Addressed on the field. See, I like that. That's good.
Yeah, that's fun. That's good.
That's good. I mean, the players are clearly into the idea of some back and forth. There's some random dude on Missouri who was like, yeah, we want Kentucky to be our arch rival. And no one cares about Kentucky, Missouri. But at the same time, at least they're trying. And here's Jimbo. Here's Nick Saban just acting like this isn't a big deal. I want Jimbo Fisher to double down whenever he speaks at SEC Media Day. I don't know which day he's supposed to go. But yeah, that was disappointing. And then Saban loves to build fake straw man too. And there was another point during the press conference that he was at, or maybe it was the interview with Laura Rutledge, where he was saying, everyone keeps on trying to say I'm retiring, but I am not retiring. I do declare I will be playing coaching as long as I possibly can. And he
Paul
did it with
Southern
that inflection.
Accent.
Well, that's what
Paul
Nick Saban sounds like.
Yeah, also Nick Saban does not sound like
that. I do declare.
He's from West Virginia.
You must not be watching. Yes, this is a Virginia accent. A West Virginia a man who moved to the frontier before the Civil War began because he was not 100% sure that he wanted to fight with the Confederacy. And then he moved back so he could fight with the Confederacy.
Oh, God.
Yes. I mean,
I'm so glad. I'm genuinely glad that you put the segment in the rundown, by the way, because it gave you an excuse to do your Southern.
Well, yeah, that's. I mean, that's
accent.
The only reason I did
it's the
it.
The sole reason. It's a slow day, guys.
I am the most noble SEC fan that there is. I speak about things with an eloquent manner, as opposed to a lot of these ruffians, especially in the state of Mississippi or some other states like Louisiana. These people are savages, and here I am. I don't know. This accent's turned British. I'm just going to stop.
Apart.
Yeah,
I'm just going to stop. Yeah,
we did too much. We did too much. Sometimes you got
to
pull the plug.
Southern to like Southern Louisiana yeah. to British
English colonial.
It really evolved.
What if it turned into Australian next too? That's the next part. Oi, Nick Saban. Oi.
I don't need Shrimp to hear Nick Saban say that he's used it to make himself better. I hate when people say things like that.
Yeah.
It's so fake, and it's just not true.
I'm using it to make myself a better man. Okay, Nick, sure. You're still paying these kids tons of money more than any other school can. Just admit it. It's fine. Like, no one's angry about it, are they? Like, does anyone care anymore? So, yeah, that was SEC Media Day. I don't know if you also saw this, though. Vanessa, this has to do with TCU and Texas Tech. So I love Texas Tech fans. I think they're hilarious. They're fun to hang out with, but they're also like the most savage, I think, fan base in the state of Texas.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Texas
TCU.
A&M's polite. Texas A&M fans are culty, but I'll give them this. They are all generally polite and friendly. Texas Tech fans, they're fun to hang out with, but there's something about, I don't know, Lubbock that just makes these people at sporting events turn into crazy people where they're throwing tortillas or batteries. And they also love to travel. So TCU is selling their tickets for this coming season. And you can buy a single game ticket for any game except for against Texas Tech. Texas Tech, you have to buy a bunch of tickets if you want to buy a ticket to that game.
So the AD is doing this so that Texas Tech fans don't flood their stadium.
Right, because Texas Tech fans, I mean, we've seen Texas
Tech fans.
And they
travel very well.
Yeah, remember in college basketball this past year where there were more Tech fans at the UT game against Chris Beard than there were UT fans there, which was awesome. So I think this is a weak-ass move by TCU to block Tech fans from going. I like the Tech fans travel. It's your own fault that you don't get enough TCU fans in the stadium to keep them out. Like, that is a you problem. Now you're going to skirt basic capitalism and economics so that you can, you know, give yourself a home field advantage. Oh, wow, TCU fans, I mean, they're so diehard. They're so loud in Fort Worth, they are.
I at first, when you were talking about them being savages, I thought you were talking about TCU. That's why I was confused. I was like,
no.
TCU fans don't seem that bad.
They're pretty lame, and they just wear purple. No offense, Sean, to any TCU fans out there.
Sean, you went to Texas. Do you agree with Paul's assessment about Texas Tech fans?
Oh, yeah. They are – I don't know if they're the most wild fan base. They're the most wild fan base of, like, a major college football team in Texas. I would say they're just wild. They're not most passionate, I would say, or the Aggies, biggest probably Tech, but just as far as like absolute wild cards, it's Texas Tech by far. And honestly, this beef is hilarious because they both had head coaching vacancies this past winter, and the guy who ended up being the TCU coach, Sonny Dykes, his dad is like basically the greatest Texas Tech coach of all time.
Oh.
And so everyone thought he was going to coach at Texas Tech. He went to TCU. So I think that's where this kind of beef started, was he turned his back on his dad's team.
So coaches seem to spurn Texas Tech a lot, whether it's Chris Beard or Dykes Jr.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why. Well, I think I know.
It's because Lubbock's in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
I looked up how far away it is from Fort Worth because I was like, oh, because it's probably not too far.
I'm going to guess 8 hours.
It is a 4.5-hour drive.
Oh, it's only 4.5. I thought it would be a lot worse than that. Still, that's a hike. That is a
so long.
Bit of a hike.
The tortilla thing is aggressive.
I like it, though. You know, it sets
fun.
You apart.
It's fun, yeah.
And what, tortillas are harmless. It's not like you're throwing batteries, except for those times where they've thrown batteries. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, normal behavior. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Are you mad about the Astros getting booed? How long is that going to last? Plus, Paul's world-famous Yankees watch segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.